episode of Making Room with me, your host, Marley Martin. As always, I am so blessed and so excited to be here with you all, and I can't wait to share a little bit about my personal journey on finding and living my purpose, as well as sharing about kingdom dreams and just kind of a life update. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get started. So for those of you who haven't heard the previous episode earlier on the podcast in regards to living our purpose and the mission that God has for us, just to kind of summarize that up, unless you want to go back and hear the full version, which I definitely recommend, but we're called to, you know, as scripture says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, loving one another as I have loved you. And so throughout my life, throughout my journey, I've really learned that at the end of the day, no matter what career I'm paid, whatever job I've had that I've been paid to do, at the end of the day, if I'm not striving to make disciples and help minister to other people, then I'm not actually doing what Christ called me to do. And I believe that's true for all of our lives. Just to take you down the journey of some of the past jobs I've had in my life, I'm sharing it for a couple of reasons. The first reason is I hope you truly find humor in this and laugh about it, because that is exactly what I do when I always go down this rabbit hole and revisit all the different jobs that I've had throughout my life. And I have learned a great deal from each job that I've had and each job that I've held. And looking back, I can see how each one has prepared me for where I'm at now. So to offer perspective as well as some humor, let's go ahead and take a journey down memory lane in Marley's job history, shall we? So first up is my parents told me I needed a job. I needed to start paying for my own gas money. I don't even remember how old I was. Maybe right out of high school, going into college, something like that. It was several years into college. But my first job ever was at a place called Club Tabby, which was a birthday party destination for young girls. They sold costumes and glitter. But the ultimate product that this place offered was birthday parties, where the employees who worked there would dress up as princesses and do the little girl's hair and makeup. And that was my first job. I would dress as a Disney princess or Elf on the Shelf. And my sisters thought that was absolutely hilarious. And I had put out applications other places, and this was just the first place that had gotten back with me. And I did not want to miss out on an opportunity to have a job, so I accepted it. That was my first job ever. So yes, I hope you find that funny. I actually have some pictures that I can dig up and maybe post and share just to really out myself. But the next thing I did was I realized I could not keep dressing as a Disney princess. My ego couldn't handle it. And so I got hired on with the company my dad owned at the time, which is in the oil field industry. And so a lot of times I would just kind of maintain the yard where they kept a lot of their supplies. I would weed eat, spray weeds, mow the yard, go pick up lunches for people, things like that. But eventually I got certified a chauffeur's license that I could drive company vehicles with. I also had to get forklift certified so that when loads would come in off the tugboats, I could put things in the yard back where they belonged. And I even had to go help pick up a load from a tugboat being delivered. So that was my second job. So from Disney princess to forklift certified, you can say I've kind of done it all just between those two jobs alone. But I didn't just stop there. I also worked at a physical therapy clinic as a tech. And I loved that environment so much that I went to school for 2 years to be a physical therapist assistant. That's not what I graduated in. That dream did not last long. I also worked in a monogram shop where I learned a lot about business. The owner was in the shop a lot, and I got to see firsthand the way that she ran her business. And I truly learned so much from a business standpoint, where in other jobs I had previously, it was really just me being an employee and helping out, and I didn't get to see a lot of behind the scenes. And so that job was really beneficial to me. Another place that I worked was at an early childhood center and daycare. I specifically was in ages 2 and 3. When they put me in the lower ages, I would leave very overwhelmed, anxious. I think I cried a day or two at work. And I met one of my best friends that later became a bridesmaid at my wedding through that job. So no regrets there, but it just was not my calling either. Another job I had was I worked for the diocese here in Lake Charles, and I worked there for 3 years. However, when I accepted the position, I had just gotten engaged and was like, look, I'm going to be out quite a bit planning the wedding, you know, bachelorette parties, bridal showers, who knows? Like, weddings just are very time consuming. And then not long after the wedding, we got pregnant with our first. And so I was out a lot for that in year two of that job. And then we got pregnant again. And so I was out a lot in year three with that job. And while I was on maternity leave with my second child, John Thomas, I was offered a youth ministry position, which was something I thought was my dream job. And I truly enjoy working with the youth. I've been a 4-H camp counselor in the past. I just love being with the youth and inspiring them and speaking with them. They're fun. They're easily inspired and motivated if you can create a relationship with them first. And so I really did enjoy that job, but the commute just was not realistic being postpartum. And then a hurricane came, and I decided, with my husband's support, obviously, that I was going to quit the youth ministry position, because at the time I was doing Arbonne on the side and I was ready to give that a full-time attempt. And I grew so much as an individual person during that time of my life because I was reliant on myself. I had to do a lot of self-development. I was reading books. I was listening to podcasts. There were monthly calls I would check into. And I truly feel like that is where I became the most self-aware as well as most self-confident version of myself that I really ever had been in my life. High school wasn't a super great time. It wasn't terrible. But when I was in the Arbonne era of my life, I really kept thinking, man, I wish I could go back to high school as this version of me. I think I would have enjoyed it so much more. I would have been more comfortable. I would have been more confident in who I was and what I bring to the table. I would have been a better friend, a better classmate. And everything I've learned in Arbonne, I've really taken with me as I move forward in life. But at the end of the day, Arbonne was not the calling God had on my life. And it was definitely challenging in a lot of ways. So I hung up my Arbonne hat and started doing some soul searching. I went to California to meet with a life coach where she really helped me unpack my talents, my gifts, my desires. And with that, a new dream began to unfold. And it's not that I've put that dream on the back burner, but I have a tendency to jump in headfirst with 2 feet when I get excited about something with no plan, with very limited experience or wisdom, and things become derailed very quickly. And so I was told to take this very slow. And so while God is taking his time with my dreams and things in the background, you know, I've had these odds and ends of jobs and different things, but at this point, I shared in an earlier episode as well the power of praying friends and genuine and authentic friendships, and how it almost feels like a switch has been flipped since having Margaret, that I do feel motherly. Since being on maternity leave, I've listened to parenting books and found other ones that I'm interested in. And with all that being said, Adam and I have very intentionally discerned me being a stay-at-home mom. And I feel myself going back to this confident version of myself that I was when I was home doing Arbonne full-time. And what I've realized is because I'm home now, I have time and energy to invest in myself again, in my health, in my physical health, my mental health, my emotional health. I have this time to pour into me and make myself better. And in turn, I'm a better wife and I'm a better mother. And when I was working full-time and being a mom full-time and being a wife full-time, something had to give. And I wasn't willing to sacrifice, you know, the career version of me. And I wasn't willing to sacrifice the mom version of me. And I wasn't willing to sacrifice the wife version of me. And so the individuality part of me, I realize now, was kind of falling behind and kind of struggling and suffering. And when I'm home, I pour into myself more and I'm a better version of me and as an individual. And that spills over into the other areas that I find important as being a wife and being a mother. And like I said, since having Margaret and having those powerful friends pray for me, I do feel more like a mother. I do feel more patient and more kind and more reflective and more in tune with what my kids' needs are. I'm more patient with them. And it's been such a beautiful journey. It was a hard decision. We did not come to that decision lightly, but at the end of the day, having a career that I'm passionate about is not as fulfilling as being a mother and the kind of mother that I want to be. And in that excitement, I have started thinking back to the way it was when my parents grew up, you know, as I mentioned earlier, and that's the kind of home I want to provide for my children and their friends. And so I started wearing an apron when I cook because I'm trying to go back to being old school. And, you know, Adam's got some vegetables he's planting in our yard, and we've got chickens that are laying eggs, and we're just trying to get back to the basics of what it is to have a home life. We try to eat dinner together as a family every night, and these things I'm finding are so much more fulfilling to me than pursuing the money or the career or the retirement or whatever it is that society has told me that I need to do and that I need to be. And in addition to that, I mentioned this dream and these goals that I have, and how I kind of put them on the back burner, but they're not in the back burner. They're just in the background, slowly burning. And as you all know, I'm also in ministry school, right? And what we talked about recently is a kingdom dream, which I'd never heard of before. But essentially what a kingdom dream is a dream that comes from the kingdom of heaven that is intended to build up the kingdom of heaven. And so it is a dream or ambitions that the Lord has put on your heart. So it comes from the heavenly realm into the desires of your heart. And it's to build up the kingdom. So it's not just about how you want to be a good person or how you want to make an impact, but it's about how you're going to get other people to heaven. And for one of my sisters, I truly believe that that's art. She has always, well, actually both of my sisters have made their careers at this point in art. Their creativity, the way that they can take a blank canvas and turn it into something so beautiful and so powerful and make connections with people and inspire others. You know, my younger sister is a tattoo artist, and she has had such meaningful and deep conversations with people, and she's not just tattooing them, which seems so surface level to some people, but the connections and relationships that she's forming and making during these appointments is so profound. It's almost like therapy for the people who go to her, and she's no therapist, but these interpersonal relationships where you see someone's heart and they share theirs with you, that's what we're called to do. Those relationships and those connections and the beauty that she's designing, which provokes conversation with other people, that's building up the kingdom of God. My older sister is an art teacher, so she has the young minds of a few middle school and mostly high school students in the art classroom, and they talk about the beauty of art and the inspiration of art. She does live paintings for fundraisers, and I've kind of always wondered what mine was, right? And one of the things about a kingdom dream is it requires more than yourself. So, you know, I can sit here and do art in the comfort of my home. My sisters can keep their art a hidden talent or a hidden secret. But when you start sharing it with others, when it becomes bigger than yourself, that is a confirmation of you living out your kingdom dream, right? So my older sister created art for the Diocese of Lake Charles that went out to all of the parishes of Divine Mercy and the Monstrance, because we're in the year of the Eucharist. And so that is a kingdom dream being fulfilled. Her art is being shared across the diocese, inspiring others, moving others. She actually went to confession in a parish that's not our home parish the other day, and she said both of her artworks were in the confessional on each side of the confessional. And she was like, wow, how many people that I don't know see this and maybe are moved or inspired? And that's a kingdom dream. That's something that involves other people. It's outside of herself. It's bigger than her. Her kingdom dream does not come full circle without the support and help and love of others. So without the diocese seeking out talented artists, her kingdom dream is not able to be fulfilled. Without the clients of my little sister, her art is not going to be seen out in the world. And so I prayed about my kingdom dream and like what that is. And I know what I think it is. But in ministry school, what we also did was have our classmates prophesy with us and ask the Lord to reveal to them what my kingdom dream is. And I did that for them as well. So we took turns in little small breakout sessions, and to hear within a 20-minute span, 10 minutes with each person who prophesied with me, for them to have the same revelation from the Lord about what my kingdom dream is was amazing, because I have this desire in my heart, but the best way I can explain it is like if I'm holding a little sparkler, right? A little firework sparkler, and it's cute and it's fun and it's a little risky and a little dangerous, but it's at the same time, it's very safe. But when you hear someone prophesy into that beauty that you're already holding and you're already having fun with and dreaming of, to hear the Lord confirm it and say, yeah, this is good. This is going to require people beyond you. This is a desire from the kingdom of God for the kingdom of God. And when you let other people help you and work with you in this puzzle piece manner, it goes from being a little sparkler in your hand that's cute and fun and safe to fireworks, to the grand finale of a firework show when the Holy Spirit's involved and you get other people involved. It can go from something small and personal in yourself to some massive magnitude that's inspirational to others and gets other people into the kingdom of heaven. And that is so exciting and so much fun to be a part of. And so both people shared with me that what the Lord shared with them for my life as my kingdom dream is to use my voice, whether that be through the written word, whether that be through speaking, to inspire others, to awaken the dry bones of the faithful to the alive church. That when the Holy Spirit is present in our lives, that our faith can go from being something like checking the boxes to being something alive and beautiful, from going from black and white to something just so colorful and abundant. And that is what I found in my life living with the Holy Spirit. My faith went from participating in the sacraments, going to church on Sunday, following the Ten Commandments, doing what I was taught and what I was told in this very checking the boxes, black and white way, to something so alive and so real and so tangible, having dreams interpreted and having a light shone on the realities of my life, to having people prophesy with me, to learning that I, in the comfort of my home, on the streets, at Walmart, wherever, I can hear the voice of the Lord for myself and prophesying over other people. To starting this podcast and making room for this idea to share something beyond myself, right? And I do hope and pray that someday I can speak on stages and share the Lord's heart with other people, that maybe someday I do write a book, that this podcast goes beyond just Instagram followers. I'm not sure what the Lord has for me, but I know that when any of us open ourselves up to what our kingdom dream is, which again is a desire from the kingdom of heaven put on our hearts by the Lord to get other people into the kingdom of heaven. So it's from heaven for heaven, which is just so full circle and so beautiful and so exciting. When I open my heart, when any of us do this and we share, the heavens will move, right? The Lord will make a way and prepare our path. And it is so fun and so scary at the same time, because again, it goes from being that safe little sparkler in your backyard to a full-on firework show. That could be very scary and very dangerous, but when you really step back and look at it, it is so beautiful. And that's what we're all invited to participate in, right? In addition to this kingdom dream idea, there's also what we talked about in class was like these seven pillars or seven mountains in which your kingdom dream can stand on. So those are family, church, government, media, entertainment, business, and church. So those are the kind of the seven categories, pillars, mountains, whatever you want to call them, that your calling could fall under. And being I just started my stay-at-home mom journey, I was thinking maybe my mountain is the family life, because that's what I'm just now starting on. And when other people prayed with me, they said, your mountain is teaching and educating. And I'm like, I am no theologian. Like, what am I going to teach people about? I have no idea. That's so intimidating. And the Lord just revealed that it's teaching people the heart of the Lord. It's not necessarily the theology of it, the rules, the standards, you know, canon law, things like that. But it's sharing the Lord's heart with people who've never encountered it. It's sharing my story and my experiences. I feel like this podcast has really been the Lord grabbing my hand and taking me through something and then helping me articulate it to you guys so that you too can experience this for yourself. And so I just invite you to make room for this idea. Pray about it. Lord, what is my kingdom dream? What is it that came from heaven that you've placed in my heart that you want me to share with other people to get them to heaven? Does it fall under family? Does it fall under business, Does it fall under government? Does it fall under media? You know, what is it? Where in life do you want me to bring your heavenly ideas, your heavenly love? Where do I experience that myself, right? And so I just invite you to make room for this idea. Pray for this. Ask the Lord what your kingdom dream is. Which mountain is he calling you to be on? So don't put yourself in a box. Let the Lord guide you. Let him hold your hand and help you navigate this. I'm praying for you to really open your mind to this, to really receive these answers from the Lord. If you want me to help you press into this and pray about it a little bit, I would love the practice. I can't promise that I'd be right. I'm not a perfect listener, but I do try to yield to the Spirit. And anyone who's interested in having me pray with them or for them, do not hesitate to reach out to me. It's great practice for me. It's a great opportunity for you to hear from the Lord. But as always, I just wanted to share that it looks different for everyone. The journey to get to where I am now has taken me years. It's taken me to be open to the Lord. Again, consider all those jobs and careers I had and attempted before getting to this place where I can actually be content with being a stay-at-home mom. I'm not seeking for validation outside of my home, where I used to think I needed approval from the Lord. I mean, excuse me, from the world, from my peers, from my parents, from society. I needed this admirable job and career and this admirable environment. And Mother Teresa, I've heard it said a million times, says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. And I've heard it, but it never penetrated my heart. It never sat with me. This home and this family, it didn't, which as crazy as it sounds, it didn't feel like my calling. I felt like I was still called to do things beyond my home. And here I am getting to speak on behalf of the Lord in the comfort of my home through the podcast. I'm getting to reach people outside of my home while being in my home. And that is so beautiful. My dad always says, it's funny how the Lord works. And I think this is a perfect example of that, right? I also was inserting myself into things outside of not just my home, but outside of my community. I was involved in a volunteer program outside, two volunteer programs actually, outside of my own church parish and community that I live in. And I feel like the Lord is saying, come home, serve your own parish. He's given me desires that I didn't see coming. I didn't expect. I now have the desire to not just be a stay-at-home mom and really dig in my teeth here and raise good children and be available to them anytime they need me and to serve them, and not just serve them, but serve them in a way that's going to make them be better. Serve them by serving them discipline. You know, that is a form of service to my children, is disciplining them when it needs to be done and having the discernment to do that and to do that well. But also to serve my own parish. I'm feeling called to maybe, I don't know, lead vacation Bible school. My sister and I started our prayer group, just sinking my teeth in to grow where I've been planted and stop trying to uproot myself and go out into the world and make a difference. But coming back to loving myself, creating time to love myself, because when I do that, what I'm really doing is honoring the Lord, because he created me. And it's easy to overlook that sometimes or forget that, but to pour into myself and to love myself is to praise God and to love him well. And when I do that first and foremost, only then can I love my family well. Only then can I serve my community better. And so I am really just taking it back to the basics in my own life, refocusing, reestablishing my prayer life, pouring into myself, in turn being able to pour into my family, then into my community. And I pray that you can do the same. So with that being said, as always, I will go ahead and I will close in prayer with you guys. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, loving Father. Lord, set our hearts ablaze to love ourselves as you love us, to see ourselves genuinely and authentically the way that you do, to know our authority as sons and daughters of you as a king, to give to you first every day so that we can pour into ourselves. Lord, we know that we can't give what we do not have, so help us to nourish our faith life. We feed our bodies. Help us not to forget to feed our souls as well. I pray that you come into the hearts and the minds of each listener. Reveal to them what their kingdom dream is. What plans, what desires, what goals have you selected from the heavens for each of their hearts as an individual and given to them? How do you want them to live that out, Lord? What does that look like for their life? What mountain have you called them to build their kingdom dream on? Reveal that to them. I feel that as I'm praying, there is revelation happening. As I'm praying this, some of you are getting the answers as I am praying. And that is so powerful and that is so exciting and so beautiful, because only when we live out our kingdom dream is the kingdom built up. That's what we're called to do, right? That's how we go forth and make disciples of all nations, is knowing our gifts, knowing our talents, and not keeping them under a bushel basket, not just staying in the safety of holding our little sparklers, but sharing them with the Lord and letting him turn them into a beautiful display of fireworks. For the people who are shy and timid and hesitant, Lord, help them to know that they too can serve you in their own small little St. Therese, little flower way. To those who are bold and brave, have them roar like a lion. Give them their voice. Help them to not stay silent. Woo! I'm sorry. I'm just like feeling the Holy Spirit right now. I just feel so many good things happening. And I just bless each of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I pray for your peace. I pray for your joy. I pray for your revelation from the Lord, that you can live in your fullness identity that Christ has given you. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This episode was so fun for me to take a trip down memory lane with all the jobs I've had. I don't know why I get so giggly about that. I think I was searching for validation in all those areas, and to look back at all the ways and all the things I tried to get there. To just being like, hey, I'm a stay-at-home mom who wants to wear an apron and have a vegetable garden and discipline my kids and raise them up well and have an environment for them and their friends to feel safe and secure. It's funny. It's funny to me. And it's been such a journey. And I'm so honored that you've taken the time to hear my story and to hear my heart. And I'm praying for you as I know you're praying for me. I hope you have a wonderful day. God bless. And I'll talk to you soon.